Today we want to consider the relationship of the Christian to government. What is my relationship to my government if I'm a Christian? Now, first of all, let's look at some principles to guide us here. If I'm a Christian, if I am a believer in the Lord Jesus, then there's come a time when I confessed Jesus as Lord. In Romans 10:9, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And so being a Christian means acknowledging the authority of the Lord Jesus in your life. It means giving God his place. Jesus said the first and great commandment is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And when we accept the Lord Jesus as our Savior, we accept the sovereignty of God, the sovereignty of Jesus. We confess him as Lord. Now, there are many today who just say, you receive Jesus as Savior. And it's almost as if, yes, we can be saved from going to hell. We don't want to have the judgment of God upon us and upon our sins. But we wish to live our own lives. And we don't want any of the restraints of God. We don't want God's control on our life. But this is not the New Testament message. When they proclaimed Christ, they proclaimed him as Lord. And they said to people, listen, if you're going to become a Christian, it means accepting the authority of God. It means accepting the authority of Jesus in your life. It means you come as a sinner to him, and you put your life under his authority. So we want to emphasize that. The Christian is, first of all, someone who has acknowledged the authority of the Lord Jesus, who has made him Lord in his life, and is subject to him. And you know, when I became a Christian, when the truth gripped my heart that God loved me enough to give his son to die for me, and that when Christ hung there on that cross, bleeding and dying, he was paying for my sin, and that God would forgive me all my sin if I would but accept him. When that truth gripped me, I found myself at the feet of the Lord Jesus saying, Lord Jesus, I want you for my Lord and Savior. And I hope you can say the same. There's too much of this lukewarm Christianity. There's too much of this business of saying, yeah, I believe, but there's no life that's at all submissive to the Lord. And in the New Testament, those who were Christians acknowledged Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, we want to remember that. Now, if this is true, then God's Word is our authority. To what do we look for direction? Where do we get our guidelines for our lives, for our decisions, for our priorities? How can we live to please God? He's given us his word. His word is our authority. It's a revelation from God. The scripture says in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished for every good work. And so, as I acknowledge God's authority in my life, I acknowledge the authority of his word, and I say his word now must be my guide for my life personally, and as a fellowship of Christians, for our corporate fellowship, his word must be that to which we turn for direction. Now, if this is true, our primary citizenship is in heaven. And this is what he says in Philippians 3:20. Our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we wait for a Savior. The one who has accepted the Lord Jesus, according to Colossians, has been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of God's Son. And so I have a new citizenship. The moment I received the Lord Jesus, I became one of God's citizens, a part of the kingdom of God. And there's this new relationship now that I have with him. And this should grip us. We really should feel, as we live in this world, that we're foreigners, we're strangers. As you read Hebrews 11, it talks about those men who lived lives of faith. And it says they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims. They were looking for a city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And they were confessing that because they had faith in the living God, that they really were strangers to this world culture and to this world system, and that this world was under the authority and domination of Satan. And so there was this sense of strangeness, of not really belonging. Have you ever felt that? As you've gone by some bar, perhaps, or some nightclub, or maybe if your neighbors have been really having a wild party, and you've just sensed, I don't belong in that kind of situation. I have something better. If you go to a foreign country, you realize as you're going down the streets and people are talking a different language, and the culture, the traffic signs are in a different language, everything is strange, and you're keenly aware, I'm a stranger. This is not really where I belong. And really, if you're a Christian, my brother or sister, if you know the Lord, this ought to be somewhat the sense that we should have day by day, that we don't really belong here. Our citizenship is in heaven. Now, we have then a dual citizenship. And we realize that our hope is really the Lord's return. Regardless of which political party is in office, all the problems won't be solved. It doesn't matter which party you belong to. It doesn't matter which man you vote for. You'll find out sooner or later that he is not perfect. He or she is a sinner, and in time there's going to be failure, there's going to be disappointment. Because this world is marked by sin. It's marked by the fall. Now, as we realize that, we look for Christ to return. We long for him to come back. He's our king. And he's the one who said, if I go away, I will come again, and I'll return, and I'll receive you to myself. And he's going to set up his kingdom. And I want to read a few verses in Isaiah 9 that just point out beautifully the fact that Christ is coming back. The time is coming when he is going to reign. And I read in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, unto us a son is born, unto us a child is born rather, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, in to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth and forever. And so the prophet says there's a time coming when this one, this promised Messiah, will set up his kingdom. There's going to be justice, there's going to be equity, there's going to be perfect rule on this earth, but not till then. If you're looking for perfection, if you're looking for utopia in this life, you will be sadly disappointed. Only the Lord Jesus is going to bring in the perfection that he can, the justice that this world longs to have. And when he comes back and when he sets up his kingdom, we can say, well, praise the Lord, there will be justice. Righteousness will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. That's a wonderful hope, isn't it? And as we live in a world that's marked by the fall, let's have hope as we think of Christ coming back again. Now, we do have a secondary citizenship. Each one of us has a citizenship in some country here on earth. But let me say it is secondary. Now, we can claim the advantages of it. We want to cooperate within it. But our primary citizenship, our primary loyalty is to the Lord Jesus. It's to God himself. And any time the laws, of course, go contrary to this, then we have to say we ought to obey God rather than man. But with Paul, who could claim his Roman citizenship, as in Acts 22:25, he could say, look, you can't whip me without a trial. I'm a Roman citizen. I have this citizenship, and you cannot just violate the laws that govern Roman citizens. So we can claim the blessings that we have with our citizenship. In Romans 13:1, it says we should respect authorities. It says, let every soul be in submission to the higher authorities. So we as believers should be marked by respect and obedience to these authorities, insofar as they do not ask us to do that which is contrary to the Word of God. Also, he points out in Romans 13, we should pay taxes. He says, render to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due. And so he says, pay your taxes. Maybe you can't always do it as cheerfully as you should, but pay your taxes and be thankful for all the blessings of the country in which you live. And those of us that live here in the Western world have so many blessings, don't we? We have the liberties and the freedoms that many people in other countries do not have. And also, we have a responsibility not only to pay taxes, but we have a responsibility to pray. We're told to make prayer for all men in 1 Timothy 2:1. And then in verse 2 it says, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And so we are told to pray. Pray for our governments. Pray for our authorities. Pray for those in high office. Pray that they will rule justly, that they'll be guided by honesty and by the principles of God's Word. Now, in much of the free world, we have liberties, too, that some people do not have. There are many countries where you don't have the privilege of voting, for example. Now, we who live in countries where we do, we can say this is an opportunity to express our will. We can express our will concerning principles, concerning issues. There are things that as Christians we're concerned about. If I'm a Christian, the matter of abortion is something that is a Christian issue. It's not just something that is neutral. And so we can be concerned for issues. We can be concerned to express our will concerning candidates who stand for righteousness and for right principles. These may not necessarily be Christians, but they should stand for the principles of God's Word, for things that are right and pure. Now, I hope that as Christians, we'll have wisdom from God to live as citizens in this world, but to remember that, first of all, our citizenship is in heaven.